Highball, yes. I want to welcome you very much to this day, which I think many of you have already expected and have thought about it. I have noticed when devotees hear Japa retreat, they usually think of two things, the 64 rounds day and the practice of monam, the silence, not speaking for a whole day. And they are having mixed emotions about it. One, they feel the challenge and they would like to rise to the challenge. The second is they may have a little doubt, how will it go for me? Will it be maybe difficult because I'm not used to chant every day 64 rounds? And I like to talk, I'm from the Balkans. Talking is important to me. How will I do when I not talk? What you will see today is that you will enter into a new zone, so to say, a new dimension, an entirely new experience. But I would like to remind you that all your treasures in life are to be found in that uncharted land, that place which is new for you, that place which is not ruled by old habits and old thought patterns, but that place where you are an explorer, where you are a seeker, where you can be surprised by things which are waiting for you. So let us go today into the land where all our treasures wait for us. Let us go with trust that Krishna is with us, and that Krishna has placed there all the subtle hints, all the knowledge, all the experiences which we exactly need at this moment in our spiritual life to go to the next level. I will be talking this morning about these two things, 64 rounds and monam. And I will not talk very long because this morning or this day is entirely your day. I have minimal to do with this day. Good, so let us just chant Jai Radha Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari. Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Yasoda nandana vraja jana randana. Yasoda Yasodhananana Vrajadhyanaranyana Yamunatiravana Chari Yamunatiravana Chari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Krishna
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Gaura Nithai, Gaura Nithai, Gaura Nithai, Gaura Nithai. Jaya Radha Kunya Bihari, Radha Kunya Bihari, Radha Kunya Bihari Radhe. Jaya Radha Kanaya Lala Radha Kanaya Lala Radhe.
So, Hare Krishna. Good. Today, on this Wednesday, we have arrived at our mid-term, so to say, of the Japa retreat. And in some ways, at least for some of us, it is maybe the peak, the climax of the retreat, because today we will be chanting 64 rounds, a standard which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord himself, has established, and when he came to the when he appeared here in this planet Earth. Now, I don't know if you are aware that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's standard for all of his bhaktas was that each of them should chant 64 rounds each day. Now you can see times were different. They were not nearly as hectic as they are today. Today, the modern man has arrived at a breathtaking speed, which is very discomforting for some. Everything is so fast, our day is so filled, our life is so much pressured, that to think that we take 8 hours out of our daily routine for spiritual practice or for just japa practice. I mean, the devotees did other things. They did puja and so on. It's very difficult for us to conceive, isn't it? I have seen how fast our civilization has increased in speed when I was so fortunate as to spend, I don't know how many months, 5 months maybe, in Jahorina. Jahorina is a mountainous part of Bosnia, and I would sometimes, maybe 3 or 4 times in this time, go to the city and either do programs there or visit doctors. And then I would return from the city Sarajevo into into the mountains, and I would all of a sudden feel like, slow down. Because the people who are moving in the mountains are moving with these hot horse-drawn carts in Bosnia still. You can still find this when you go through Bosnia and Serbia. You can see the old style of life. They have these horses. They are often not Arabic horses. They're just, I think we call them mules, you know, a crossbreed between a camel and a horse, you know. It's very, very rural, very, and they move very slow, and someone sits there. He's not shaved because today was no need to shave, and he, and he's there, and, he may read from time. No, they don't usually read a lot. And he is just sitting there. Everything is going much slower, and so on. And when I saw this, I remembered how slow must have life been 500 years ago. You know, here is a clash of civilizations, the modern, which takes place in Sarajevo, and the old civilization with the old people. I here in Bosnia, you can still visit a village. I have not yet done this, but it's in one of my things to do. I would like to do it, where the people still live like they used to live 100 years ago. Is that 100 years or? Yeah. Even more than 100 years, and I heard it's an experience. They, you know, they don't have the water from the what is it called, tap, yes, but they to get water for cooking, you have to go to the well, and you have to take the water out, and everything is much slower. In the evening, there's no electricity, so you don't stay up long. You have maybe a candle or the chemin fire, and you, I think you may pray a little bit from the Bible or from the Quran, and then you go to bed, and you know, sometimes you make a child in the bed, and then you go to the fields. You know, it's a slow it's a life where there is time, there is not so much pressure on us, where the mind also, ideally, I know that Kali Yuga is also here, but ideally, it's not so much under stress. I want to ask you a question, my dear devotees. Just think about this civilization in its ideal form, in the spiritual civilization of India. You know, where people would go also to the wells to get the water. You can see this sometimes in Braj still when you go to the villages. And I encourage all of you, if you find us in Vrindavan, please ask for Gaurahari, and he can bring you to some of the old villages, and you can feel what village life meant, how absolutely slow and peaceful it was, and here in Vrindavan, how people had time for God. No? They had time, it takes some time. And they were, you know, they would be on the field, and on the field, you can see that in Bhakti Vaibhava Maharaj's new movie, Lost Village, they would sing songs to Krishna, you know, the children would not play these complicated computer games where they sit, you know, like zombies before a little screen, you know, but they would play in the rivers, they would climb on the trees, and they would think of Krishna, who also climbed on the trees, and you know, it was a different speed, a different life, and a life where there was time set aside for Krishna. I remember once we drove with a jeep through different holy places in Orissa, and we had lost our way in the fields somewhere, And I remember our it was just maybe 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the evening, but it was already in November and the sun was down already. So we went through the fields. Then we came to a little place and there was light, and we needed to find directions. So our driver G got out, and then I decided, let me also go out and see what people do in the light, in the light of a candle at this time of the day. And you know what they were doing? They were all sitting around and chanting kirtan. So we decided to take our karatas and come into their kirtan. You can't imagine how these people felt. They were chanting, and now they saw white people, most probably from planet Moon, coming into the kirtan. Because they are simple people. White people, what are white people? We have heard about them sometimes, but, you know, so they do kirtan. That's their entertainment. That's how they do. Then I saw in Orissa, we lived in Dandabangana. Nadi, it's a river, a very nice place, very much a village place, and I decided, let me go out in the night into the village in the evening and see what people are doing. I'm chanting, but I like to see what my neighbors do, you know. So we went there, and you know, and then I saw a group of people sitting around another person, and I went and sat amongst them. And And this person was reading something, and everyone heard and laughed and was in good spirits. And in the evening, I was enjoying it. I did not know what he was reading because I didn't know the language. But sometimes I had heard Dhruva, then I heard Prahlad, and I had some idea, but I invited my Orissan translator to come with me, and the next evening, and we went again to the people, and they were sitting there under the tree, and the old man was just getting his book ready, and everyone was just getting seated, and greeted each other, and then they listened to this old man, and I asked the translator, "What is he reading?" And the translator said, "Oh, you don't know? This is the Bhagavata. They read in the evening an Aryan version of the Bhagavatam. Aryan means Orissa. It's a little bit focused more on the stories and not so much on the difficult philosophy. Because it's simple people, they like to hear the stories of Dhruva and Prahlad and of course Krishna, Leela and so on. That was the life, that was the entertainment, you know. My dear devotees, I'm asking you now a challenging question. Do you live properly? I think if we compare our hectic life, so much stress and worries, and I have to get the novats means money, dollars, or the pounds, shillings and pence, the euros, you know, and then I have to do this, and I have to make this telephone call, and my God, my email, I don't even dare to look on the computer. There will be so much email, it will just overwhelm me, you know, and all, and most of it is not important, but I have to respond, and so on, and then my job, and then my qualifications, and then my next training on the job for the higher qualifications, and oh, my exam, and my life is so full, and then I have to go to this guy to speak with him about a screwdriver and a lost screw, and so on. We are so lost, we modern people, in unessential things which don't matter, and at the end of the day we have no time for God. This is the blessings of 21st century man. Hare Krishna. So, 64 rounds or 8 hours to set away for God during the day was no problem. It was not a thing where you would think twice. It's only today where we are so sick with speed. Let me repeat this. It's only today where we are so sick with the speed of our mind and our civilization, where we think this slow contemplative life is difficult. It's because we are so spoiled by our hectic environment. So Mahaprabhu said we should chant 64 rounds minimum. There was, of course, Haridas Thakur, and you know how many rounds he chanted. I always forget, but you can remember numbers. 196. 92. What is 3 times 64? Yeah, it sounds like 172. No. 92. Yes, Tripathi, I knew you had the right number. But in my mind, numbers don't stick. 192. Hare Krishna. So, I would like to tell you a little narrative from Sri Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say in cryptic language, he would only accept food in the house of the rich. And then he would say what a rich person would be. He would say, a rich person is a Lakeshwara. Lakeshwara is something like a millionaire. Now, just like in our times when we hear a millionaire, we don't ask a millionaire and what. We understand immediately. A millionaire means a millionaire in euros or kunas or whatever the currency is, pounds. So at that time it was also understood. A millionaire meant a millionaire in the present currency which was there. Now the brahmanas were despondent. We have a few conscience at that time. The currency was conscience, small conscience. We are not millionaires, Mahaprabhu. Why are you all of a sudden partial to the rich and reject the poor? But Mahaprabhu smiled and then laughed and explained what he meant. He said, I meant rich in the holy name. I will only go to the houses of the holy. I will only go to those who are rich in the holy name. The Lord said when his devotees came to him, do you know who is a Lakeshwara? A possessor of 100,000. He is someone who chants 1 lakh or 100,000 holy names a day. I call such a person a rich man. I only take meals in that person's house, in no one else's house. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the illustrious spiritual master, took that number, 64 rounds, like all his predecessors did. I have read a book which I liked very much. It's just the title, Prema Vilas. Is there a book like Prema Vilas? There is. Prema Vilas. And there you will find how the spiritual masters, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, would instruct the disciples. They would say, chant 64 rounds a day. That was the standard. Everyone had to do that. So in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also expected from his disciples to live to chant 64 rounds a day. He wrote, it's very interesting, I have this quotation, I'm so fortunate. Everyone living in the Gaudiya Math, that were his temple, must make an effort to chant 1 lakh or 64 rounds of holy names daily. Otherwise, different types of material attachments may creep in one's heart that will hamper one's devotional service. Do you sometimes feel you have material attachments? Yeah, yes. It could be, the reason could be that you don't chant 64 rounds a day, Dhammagup. According to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, if you chant every day 64 rounds a day, you will have no material attachments. Now, I can already warn you, today you will chant 64 rounds a day. And because we are not so much used, some of us will have to make an effort today. I mean, it's... it's really an effort to sit. And then all these things which we have heard, be present in the present. My, it will be an effort on the mind, you know. And you might find out, because you exercise so much your untrained muscles, that there will be a little strain on you, like what Sasha did to us 2 days ago, you know, when we had to sit and we had to bring ourselves up into the cat pose, and we had to just use these muscles, no other muscles. From the pelvis we had to move up. And Sasha was there, and we could not cheat Sasha. We had to do it. And since that time, I have a good muscle presence, you know. I feel my muscle for the first time in my life. I feel that I have a muscle in this area of my body. You know. Yes, because it's untrained. I'm sitting too much, and now I'm doing this. I'm doing this now every day, this exercise, until I am dead on the floor, because this is how I work. Yes. You remember? Some of you were going, shoop. And then Sasha said, please don't talk if it's not necessary. And we had to be silent and just exercise our muscle. So some of you will have the same experience today with your chanting muscles. You know, they may not be trained, and then because you have to strain so much, when the day is over, you will feel like, oh, let's celebrate now. Let's celebrate something, you know. You will feel, and maybe not immediately the highest, you will feel a sense of accomplishment. I've accomplished a difficult task. And maybe some of you will think, now let's go back to the ordinary life. Where is a pizza, please? And then, oh no, Bhimani Jali Kadasi, my God, he tricked us. And so on. So, and you may even feel that some material attachments will be there. Something, please, something, you know. Yes, someone goes by with a cigarette, and you have just yesterday given up chanting cigarette smoking. You go like. You know, and that is because you are just new in this. You are not trained in this. But usually, if you do this a little bit more, your material attachment will go. So everyone living in the Gaudiya Math must make an effort to chant 1 lakh of holy names daily. Otherwise, if you don't make this effort, different types of material attachments may creep in one's heart that will hamper one's devotional service. My dear devotees, let the flood in today. Let the flood in, which floods your material attachments so that they don't raise their ugly heads again. In fact, now listen to this. In fact, please listen carefully. This is interesting. In fact, the Lord does not accept food offering from one who does not chant daily one leg of holy names. You know, it was clear. You had to offer your food, but you could only offer your food when you have 64 rounds a day. So if you don't chant 64 rounds a day, no food for you today. That was the consequence. Oh, of course, you could steal some other in some other home some prasadam, but you had to do it. One should hear. Now you might say, well, but how is this possible? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati addresses this question in the next sentence. One should balance his time so that he can finish one leg of holy names per day and also perform his other allotted duties. In other words, he said, yes, it is possible to chant 8 hours a day. You just need to be intelligent in your time management. That was his perspective. So what came out of this 64 rounds standard? When Srila Prabhupada first came to America, he, of course, brought the tradition as it is to the coasts of America. He encouraged his early disciples to follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's and his own gurus and all the other gurus' standard. He said, chant 64 rounds a day. And but soon he saw his disciples came from another speed generation. I mean, speed here, I mean velocity. They had also taken some drug which were called speed, but they lived in another velocity or another speed frame. They just couldn't sit calm for 7 to 8 hours and chant. They just couldn't do it. They were not used to it. Have you ever seen flies in your room? And have you wondered how fast they are? You go and you want to request the fly to go out because it makes so much sound and he lands always on your nose when you want to concentrate and you just want to catch the fly and bring him out, but they are so fast. Only Madhva Muni can catch flies as far as I have seen. And that only by trick and intelligence. They are so fast, they live on another speed level. There is one book which I have read. It's The Discovery of Slowness. It's about a person who just moves very slow in his life. He has this, somehow this birth situation that he moves very slow and he arrives very slowly and he sees the world, he sees totally different aspects of the world which we don't see because we are in comparison, so fast, like the fly, you know. And it's interesting how he sees the world. He experiences very wonderful things. He discovers always many things which others have no time to see. It's a beautiful, very interesting book. I forgot the exact title, But I thought when I read this book that isn't that like spiritual perception? When you, I mean, an analogy. When you have spiritual perception, you also see things which other people never ever see in their life. No? You see things which you see with different eyes. So, yes, we Westerners were so fast. We had sold our soul out to the fast life, which is a life where we don't see so many wonderful things and don't take so many wonderful opportunities. So one day Prabhupada decided he must do something with the 64 rounds, and he invited Mukunda Maharaj, a very good disciple of him, Mukunda Das, in his room. Then Mukunda Das recounts or remembers this interview where Prabhupada wanted to find out how much his disciples could actually chant. In 1967, Mukunda Maharaj remembers, in San Francisco, Srila Prabhupada asked me, "What is your definition of Krishna?" I said, "Krishna is God. He is the supreme being. Our duty is to worship and serve him." Swamiji seemed fairly satisfied, and then he said, "Okay, you must chant 64 rounds per day on your beads now." I was shocked, and I couldn't answer. I did not know if there was any need to answer. I just kept looking at Swamiji, and he kept looking at me. You know, Prabhupada looked at him and just had his radar on, his antenna on, to find out what was going on in the head of this representative of the modern man. After some time he said, "Or at least you can chant 32 rounds a day." Prabhupada looked at him. Mukunda Maharaj. Still silence. I considered it to be very difficult to chant even 16 rounds. I was wondering, how could I possibly chant 32 rounds if 16 rounds was already almost impossible for me? After some time, Swamiji said, "Okay, at the very least, you must chant 16 rounds every day." Later, Prabhupada wrote a book, The Nectar of Instruction. Prabhupada was very much in favor of this book. He said, in the first print there should be 100,000 copies, because in this little book you find what is Gaudiya Vaishnava Sadhana, how to practice your spiritual life. It's a book I highly recommend every one of you, Nectar of Instruction. You will really find out what is the practice of Krishna consciousness by reading this. It's only, I believe, 90 pages or so. There he writes in text 5 in the purport, "The Krishna consciousness movement prescribes 16 rounds daily because people in the Western countries cannot concentrate for long periods while chanting on beads. Therefore, the minimum number of rounds is prescribed as 16. However, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that unless one chants at least 64 rounds of japa, he is considered fallen, patita." And Prabhupada has all of us in mind and says, according to his calculation, my Guru Maharaj's calculation, practically every one of us is fallen. But because we are trying to serve the Supreme Lord with all seriousness and without duplicity, you know, honestly, we can expect the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is famous as Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the fallen. Yes. That Prabhupada says, that's our case. But Mahaprabhu is very merciful. He will take care of us. But Prabhupada didn't say chanting more rounds is Maya. He always encouraged us. I have a few things. Here's a lecture on the Bhagavatam. He said, please do not forget to chant at least 16 rounds. That is the minimum. The maximum is 300,000. That's 300,000 names. That means 192. As Haridas Thakur used to do. And then Prabhupada looks at his audience and says, this is not impractical. He, in fact, before coming to the West, would in Vrindavan chant 64 rounds. There is a book out, very interesting book to read, Prabhupada, The Friend of All, which contains interviews with his friends in Vrindavan, who were living with him and who always recounted that in the morning, up till morning time, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, they would see Srila Prabhupada sitting peacefully on his terrace of before his room. You know, you can see that in the Radha Damodar temple. And he would chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He would always chant his rounds. Here's another one. I have so many, but I will take this one. Lokanath Maharaj, Devashi Narada Prabhu's spiritual master, a very wonderful devotee. You must see Lokanath Maharaj. He's the best. He once came because there was always this question amongst us disciples, what does Prabhupada really think? I mean, should we just chant 16 or should we chant more? I mean, is he just... So Lokanath Maharaj comes one day to Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, you are recommending 16 as a minimum, and some devotees are choosing 20 as a minimum. I know Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj used to chant 24 rounds every day, up till the moment of his departure. He stuck with this number. He would chant in the night. He was a mystical man. He's very exalted person. So Prabhupada. Says the Lokanath Swami. So who forbids to chant 20 rounds as a minimum? Who forbids? Who says, don't do it? No, this is wanted. But because you cannot do it, therefore we have fixed up this minimum of 16 rounds. The standard is Sankhyata Asankhyata. Sankhyata means with a vow, numerical strength, and Asankhyata means there is no limit. So you fix up a minimum, but there is no limit, Asankhyata, how many you can do. Today we will do the standard. That sounds nice, isn't it, Rangadevi? Rangadevi is ready. So, now, I want to finish this part, 64 rounds. I want to really say a word of caution, but I will do this at the end. I will do this a little later. because this will be my last thing which I say to you today. I want to now say why we follow the vow of Mona. The vow of Monam means the vow of silence. You have noted it came up yesterday that while chanting we should do Monam. In the Gita, we find a few references to Monam. Please stay here, Gaurahari, in case something happens with the computer and it starts to fly or something. There, in the Bhagavad Gita, 17th chapter, verse 16, it is said that Monam, or gravity, is an austerity of the mind. Mana prasada samyat vang monam atma vinigraha. Krishna discusses the austerities which bring about purification, and he says the austerity which purifies our mind is threefold. You should be satisfied in all life situations. You should train your mind to be simple, that is, without duplicity towards others. And you should train your mind in monam, that is, silence. You know, Prabhupada uses, then you will become grave. Grave? Grave means something like dubak, deep. You should purify your mind further by vinigraha, that means self-control. That we had also here, bringing it back from the objects of the senses. Make the mind pure by bringing it back from the objects of the senses. That would be, in Krishna's words, self-control. You know, control the mind, bring it back. These austerities purify the mind. Yet the mind always talks and makes our tongue talk. There's a connection. But now if we don't talk, our mind will go, And then, slowly, you know, like a car engine where the wheels don't turn any longer. You know, if you arrest the wheels, you can see this in snow time, when there's snow and the wheels are arrested by the snow, you know, then the engine goes, and then, so your mind will also do this when you arrest your tongue and be silent today with material sound vibration. A few times the mind will go, but after some time, the mind slows down. It will be very pure and extremely cooperative. You take this stress out of the mind by being silent, monam. After some time, you will experience it will be what? You will be at a wonderful, you will feel very wonderful today. So, if you want to read this, it's very important for those who are interested in psychology, spiritual psychology. It's in the Bhagavad Gita, 17th chapter, text number 16. Krishna talks another time about monam in the Gita. It's, I believe, in the 10th chapter of the Gita. And there Krishna says that indeed he is monam. He identifies himself with silence. It is here, in this 10th chapter, verse 38. He says, monam chaivasmi guhyanam. Of secret things I'm silence. You know, when you are entering silence, you will enter the secrets. You will go into the gnosis, into the contemplative part of Krishna consciousness. Now, I find the best description about monam is in the Bhagavatam, in the third canto, if I correctly remember. And there, Prabhupada describes how useful it is to fast the mind from the words of the hectic words. If you want to purify your body, sometimes you need to fast so that the toxins can be worked on by your body and then expelled. If you want to purify your mind, fast it of the words, the sound, and you will see how it becomes purified. So let me now see. It's in the third canto, chapter 24, verse 42. I highly recommend this. I was surprised. The Sanskrit says, Vratam sa astito monam atmaika sharano munihi. The sage Kadama, you know, he's the father of an incarnation of Krishna called Kapila, and he had requested his wife that when I have given you this son, please allow me to take sannyas and think of the Lord always. So after that was done, the sage Kadama accepted silence as a vow in order to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and take shelter of Him exclusively. This is why we are silent today, my dear devotees. We want to think of Krishna. We want to enter our relationship with Krishna and take shelter of Him exclusively. No other shelter. Only Krishna today. Then, Prabhupada comments, Mona means silence. Unless one becomes silent, he cannot think completely about the pastimes and activities of the Lord. You need this space. Remember the sacred space, what we learned about sacred space. If we enter the sacred space, we can be together with Krishna. That was the idea. So if you don't talk, especially here in the Balkans, we like to talk like anything. And I think this is one of the strengths of all of you. You are so communicative. It's not bad. But you must also know the opposite. You just can't be only in one thing in this world. You must also know to be in silence. That's important for your maturity. Yes. So monam means silence. Unless, or I will say it positively, only if we become silent we can think completely about Krishna. Because it means we enter a sacred space in which we are together with Krishna only. Our words don't go out to the world any longer. We only address Krishna. Oh, Krishna. How much I like this. This is my life. Poof. Krishna.
For you.
It worked. Wonderful. So, I want to now close my little lecture and then respond to some questions which you have, which you might have. In closure, I really want to say one thing, and this is for me, my most important message for to you today. I have tried to encourage you to chant 64 rounds today and to observe the vow of Monam. But now I want to say something. Please do not enter this day in this way. Please absolutely relax. If you don't chant 64 rounds today, it's absolutely no problem. And I'm extremely truthful to you. It's not that I'm saying something. Please listen to why I think it is not a problem if you don't chant 64 rounds. If you just concentrate your mind on a number, 64, you will only count numbers. It's not a divine experience. You will just be in the achiever's mood, and so on. You will not be in the receiver mood where Krishna can give you what he has in store for you. I'm always telling the devotees this about this Bengali kingdom. There was this king, Gopal Singh was his name, Gopal the lion. He was a real lion. He demanded that every single citizen would chant 64 rounds a day in his kingdom. Now, he had his spies and police agents going around and see if they did it. It was the greatest crime if you didn't do 64 rounds. Now imagine a farmer who has to get up to go on his field after two dry days or three dry days. He has to be all the day on his field watering his potatoes and so on. And he has to get out of bed already at 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock, then be on the field as early as possible, work hard. Then he gets maybe a few rounds done, and then he comes back at home, is hungry and tired, and finds out he has 49 rounds to chant. 49 rounds. It's almost 50 rounds. And he's tired. He just, he just wants to take a bath, eat something, doze, talk a little with his friends, and go to bed to be ready for the next day. 49 rounds, which is almost 50. Okay, don't want to disappoint the king. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Rama Rama. Oh Rama, save me from this Rama. You have appeared to bless the fortunate souls. I am very unfortunate. I have to chant almost 50 rounds. Ram, Ram, please. Ram, Ram, Ram. Hey, you're not chanting properly the mantra. You always chant Ram, 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 Ram. Thank you. Who are you? Well, I'm the minister of police from the king. Chant your rounds properly. Yes, yes, yes. I'm just, my dear devotees, so from that time, there is something like they say that the Gopal Singraha. Rounds are the Gopal Singh Graha. Graha means burden. The burden which Gopal Singh put upon us, you know. Don't chant your rounds as if they are a burden from the lion, the Singh, the Gopal Singh. No, it should be a joyous thing. You are worshipping Krishna. It's a sacrifice which you do for Krishna. Krishna will be worshipped by this. This is how you chant. We have learned this yesterday. The sacrifice of the name is the highest yagya, an offering which destroys the contamination of Kali Yuga. In order to please Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I offer this sacrifice of the holy name. The Sanskrit is Nama Yagya Samapanam. I offer this Nama Yagya to please Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to please Krishna, not to do it under stress and with inner protest and with inner a gritch inside the mind, you know. No. Please do it easy. And if you can't finish, it's no problem. It's really no problem. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the voice of a conditioned soul, admonishes himself for these forced rounds. He says, "Oh, I have counted 1 lakh of names, 64 rounds, but there is no prema. Because I think of it, to fulfill my fixed number of rounds. Oh, what a counting game. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I made 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10. It's what a child does, a counting game. You know, it is not spiritual. It has become something external. So I encourage you to chant 64 rounds. I think most of you will be easily able to do, but I discourage you from making it a counting game. No, don't make it a counting game. But if you chant 50 rounds and you feel, that's what I was doing, then stay with your 50 rounds. At the same time, do make an extra effort. If you enter the 64 rounds day with the thought, well, anything is all right, you will chant 16 and a half rounds. Bring an effort and you will do very well. Dobro. Good. Now, I want to see if you have any questions left. Yes, Maturananda has a question. I think Audaya Chandika, did I see your hand? No. Maturananda, yes, please.
I wanted to ask in regard to this counting game that you mentioned. I was wondering, is it better than just to give up this counting and just chant all day? Because I cannot imagine not, you know, doing this, I chant it 20, I chant it 30, okay, almost, you know, 45 rounds, okay, you know, like this.
Yeah. You can, if you count, you can not imagine to be detached from counting, yes.
Yeah.
Well, you can become detached from counting by understanding that you're not counting your rounds, but you count Krishna's rounds. These rounds are a samapanam, an offering to Krishna. They don't belong to you. Let me give you an example. When there is a bank teller, do you know what is a bank teller? It's a, for me it was a difficult word. How do we say it in Croatian? Velko, you see? Yeah, he sits and you give your, the money which you, yeah, it's the person who sits and he then counts it and he puts it on your account. Now, through this person's hand, sometimes millions of euros go throughout a day, especially if he is a bank teller in Switzerland. But because he understands these are not my euros, they belong to the customer, he is not attached. So when you chant, these are not your rounds, they are Krishna's rounds. And then you are detached. You follow this idea? They're not yours, they're Krishna's. Giving them to Krishna. That at least helps. Any other question you have? Go, Rahari.
Very short question. You made such a beautiful introduction in the beginning. On speed we are going on this time. And then you mentioned a normal person who has to work so much. Now if we look, the devotees or those who are fully dedicated to Krishna, they have also quite almost all fully in stress. Is that all right? I mean, I dedicate everything to Krishna, everything goes to Yajna, and that's perfect like this? Or do we do something wrong, and that should be adjusted?
Now, that's a difficult question. That's a very difficult question. To answer your question, I think it's important to know in which consciousness are you doing something. If you're doing your many things in the consciousness of offering it to Krishna, then it's will not do stress to you. But if you do it like, I have to do this, I have to do this, then I have to do that, and in the process you forget to whom this goes, you forget that this is service, then there can be sometimes stress. Yeah. I don't know how you see things, how you have observed things, but maybe it is because I become older now, and old people have more. I just can't believe that I found out I'm 55 years. I found this out a week ago, and I was shocked. You know, I never thought myself of being so old. Then I've asked many people, and some say it's not old, but others say it's stone old. So I notice also that I'm sometimes under stress. You know, I have seen this, and I don't like it at all. I become even ill from being so much under stress. I have noted that. So therefore I think a life which is full of stress is not... One gets taken out of his balance, and then one just can't think so much of Krishna. And one is so, I have to do this. This is a curse of modern men. In Deutsch we say Mehrfachbelastung. What this means is he's burdened from so many sides, you know, he has to do so many things. I think in 10 years we will find out our civilization is actually a wrong type of civilization. We're going in the wrong direction. And we participate a little bit in it. We find this out now. We have this house in near the lake. You must all visit me one day. It is so beautiful. You must really come and visit. You can ask Banu Nandini, she was there, and but you were not even on the lake in the rowing boat. Not yet. So you must visit. It's beautiful. Banu Nandini is objectively beautiful. Yeah. So you can come and visit and see Devashi Narada. You would love it. It's really, really nice. And but please announce yourself. I mean, not that all of a sudden we are here, 60 people. You invited us. What I wanted to say, there we live a little slower. You know, devotees, we have our own, we make our own vegetables, and every morning we make a yagya, an Agnihotra yagya, like in the old times. And what else do we do? We row on the thing, because see, I have to ride, and when you are in stress when you ride, it just doesn't work. You have to have inspirations. You have to explore things. But I'm already seeing, Gaurahari told me, that this old stress, I'm making deadlines. Bang! I have to finish a book by this time. This evening, I have to run the first 100 kilometers in Vedic psychology, you know. And I can notice, I'm in this habit, especially as a person who comes from the old times, you know, to constantly put these, and I see, oh my God, I'm a modern man also. Then we again go, and then I walk for an hour and think for an hour and pray for an hour and so on. And then all of a sudden I see so many nice things are coming. One has to get out of this stress. And you know, the stress, that's the problem. We are making the stress for ourselves, isn't it? I think Lalita Madhava, he's a book dealer. You must have seen, you often make stress for yourself. It's no, there's no stress, but you are making. Hare Krishna. We live in stressa loka. And we should escape. So today, please don't make yourself any stress when you chant. No need. You are together with your friend. You are with Krishna. Where is the stress? Take a day out to walk with a friend, Krishna Jivani. Allow yourself to leave the ordinary life. No stress. Very important. So I want to end now because some technical things you might know. Banu Nandini, are you announcing the technical things about anything and everything, and also the evening program, when it starts, what it is?